cravings always start on like a smaller number and they grow. But when we suppress them is when it gets really, really bad. Handle the craving when it is small. Do not wait till your craving gets to be 9 out of 10. This is when you do have control issues. This is when you're like, I blacked out and literally I somehow smashed entire boxes of cupcakes or of donuts or whatever the case is. Handle the craving when it's small. Cravings are normal. You're supposed to get them and there's nothing wrong with them. And we need to end this stigma around like, oh, I gave in to my craving. Giving in sounds and feels like you did something wrong or like you lack willpower. What's going on, friends? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Dieting from the Inside Out. If you're new around here, welcome to the show. My name is Jared Hamilton and I am your host. Now, in today's episode, we are talking about how to handle cravings, but specifically without restricting them, without hating your life, and while still losing weight. Because when it comes to food as a whole and cravings and all of this kind of stuff, it gets really messy, like your relationship with food and what do you do when you crave food and things like that. So we're going to get into all of this in today's episode. It's going to be a solo episode, just me. Now, I want you to think of this. This is the biggest belief shift you must have around food right out the gate is food is more than just fuel. Okay. What I mean by that is too often you'll hear that in the fitnessy weight loss nutrition space that, oh, food is just fuel. You got to fuel your body. Da, 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 da. And it's not wrong. I mean, yeah, food is fuel. But the thing is, food is also about 17 other things, not fuel. Right? Food is how we celebrate. Food is how we experience things. Food is how we entertain ourselves and entertain guests. And food is how we connect with our partner on date night. Food is how we do so many other things that aren't fuel-based with food. So for fitness assholes to just say, oh, hey, by the way, food is just fuel, just cut those foods out and things like that, it makes it really awkward and makes it really not very practical. I mean, think about it. You have little Timmy you're going to take to get ice cream after his t-ball game. Like, how is that just food is just fuel or birthday cake or what about date night and what about all these other things, right? So this is why you have to understand that food is so much more than just fuel. Like, yes, it's one of the facets of it, but this is why this game of food and nutrition and cravings is so nuanced is because is it fuel? Yes. But do we have taste buds for a reason because we're supposed to enjoy food? Yes. Well, do we also have things like date night and birthday cake and experiences and just want to enjoy food? Well, yeah. So that makes it kind of complicated and nuanced. That makes it where you can't just, oh, food is just fuel and let's just cut out all the processed food and all the sugar and all that just isn't practical in the society and culture in which we all live. So we have to have frameworks. And this is what I'm going to show you is what we have clients to do that is going to help this a lot for you. Okay. So because you have to understand saying food is just fuel is very similar to saying your house is just shelter from the storm. Well, yeah, the whole role of the house that I live in right now, one of the roles is to protect me from the elements, just like yours is too. The role of your house is to keep you safe from the elements, the storm, all those things. But it's also where you raise your kids. It's also your sanctuary. It's also where you grow. It's also where you connect with your family. It's also where you make memories. It's also all these other things. It's not a shelter house, right? And because of that, you have things around your house that you don't need that make it feel more like a home. You have the pictures of the kids on the walls. You have the colors on the walls that you like. You have the things that make it feel warm and cozy and inviting. Well, if your house was just shelter from the storm, it would be like a shelter house at a park. It would just be bare minimum walls, cover up, you know, keep you safe and that's it. But your house is more than just a shelter. It's all these other things. So is food. So is food. So this is why it's important to have a great relationship with food, understand how to handle cravings and understand how to handle all this stuff if you want to be able to enjoy your life and all the facets of it, which involve food. So that's what we're going to get into today. Now, you have to understand this. Cravings are completely normal. We're supposed to have cravings, but here's where most people go wrong because they're dieting the wrong way or diet culture or wrong beliefs or whatever the case is. Where most people go wrong with cravings is you're following a diet, you're following a plan, and you have a craving for something. We'll just say it's not emotional. It's not anything like that. It's you're just like, man, I really want chocolate, whatever it may be. Let's just say it's chocolate. And you just want chocolate. You just have this urge for chocolate. But in your head, you go, oh no, I'm being good, whatever the fuck that even means. I'm being good. So your chocolate craving starts small. We'll call it on a scale of 1 to 10. We'll call it a 2. And you go, chocolate sounds good. You know what? I don't need it. I'm being good. It's only Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll have it this weekend, whatever. And then now you suppress that chocolate craving and now it just gets stronger. Now that 2 is over the course of the next day or two is more like a 6 or 7 now. And now you're, every time you see chocolate, you're like, fuck, I just really want chocolate. No, and you talk yourself out of it. No, I don't need it. I'm serious this time. I'm being good. And now your chocolate craving now goes to like a 9 or 10 and now it's the weekend and now you're like, you know what? I'm going to have just a piece, you know what? Or, let's say you eat it and now you're going, oh, I fucked up. I messed everything up. But you also know you have this is when what we call the last supper mentality kicks in. So you fucked up in your head, you had the chocolate and then you go, well, you may not even be aware you're doing this, but in your head you go, oh, well, I don't know when the next time I'm going to get this chocolate is. So I'm going to have as much of it as possible, get it out of my system because starting Monday, it's back to normal. It's back to starting over. I'm not allowed to have chocolate and I don't know when I'm going to have it again. So I'm going to get it all out of my system and have as much as I can right now. And then Monday starts. And then you feel like shit still because you ate like your body weight in chocolate on the weekend. But then now Tuesday rolls around. You're like, I wish I could have some chocolate. Oh, I don't need it. I'm being good. I started over. And then this whole cycle perpetuates and it continues to play like this. But this happens with not just chocolate. It could be if you're a savory person and you like chips and pizza or fried food or whatever versus, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. We all have our things, but that's the problem is this is the cycle of how cravings work. So if you don't have a way to approach it, you are royally fucking yourself. Okay. So you have to understand the way that we teach clients, cravings work on a scale system. Like we'll call it on a scale of 1 to 10. On a scale of 1 to 10, cravings never go from 0 to 10. If you're sitting there and you go, no, my cravings literally go from nothing to like uncontrolled. I would bet there's levels of this that you're not aware of that you're suppressing. Like it starts as a 2, but you dismiss it or you suppress it or whatever the case is. Cravings don't start at a 10 out of a 10. Before you're ravenous and salivating, ready to take pizza from children, it starts as, that sounds kind of good. I don't need it. You know what? I'm being good. And I'd like to have that. I can't control myself. Once I start, I can't stop, right? We immediately do something with it. I will say comfortably, like unless there's a weird anomaly I'm not aware of, cravings always start on like a smaller number and they grow. But when we suppress them is when it gets really, really bad. So here's the adage is handle the craving when it is small. Here's the thing. Handle the craving with the same level. Handle like a 2-level craving with a 2-level response. Do not wait till your craving gets to be 9 out of 10 where this is when you do have control issues. This is when you're like, I blacked out and literally I somehow smashed entire boxes of cupcakes or of donuts or whatever the case is. Handle the craving when it's small. Cravings are normal. You're supposed to get them and there's nothing wrong with them. And we need to end this stigma around like, oh, I gave in to my craving. Giving in sounds and feels like you did something wrong or like you lack willpower. You have to understand part of a good plan is having the foods within moderation and control that you do crave. This is one of the biggest things that we do with our clients. And this is one of the things that you have to do if you want to have any chance of keeping your weight off. And this is, it should be one of the foundational pieces of your program and of your diet and of your system is you need to be able to have any food that you want in moderation so you can enjoy yourself and you aren't feeling restricted. You aren't feeling like you're giving things up. You aren't feeling like you're just a ticking time bomb to quitting and stopping. Because I don't care what you can do in the short term now. I don't care if you can get the weight off and in like these 6 months, as soon as month 7 rolls over and you like, all right, I can't take this anymore. And then you gain it all back. You have to understand if you're planning on stopping what you're doing, you're on the wrong plan. Like, yes, there will be nuances when you go maintenance. Yes, there will be nuances and you're not going to be dieting 24/7. But if you're a general premise and principle behind you trying to lose weight and the diet side of this stuff is, all right, I'm going to do this temporary thing where I hate my life and I give up my favorite foods until this weight comes off and then I'm going to quit doing that, all of your weight will come back with interest. It's how it always works. It's why it's always happened to you. This is why you have to approach this differently. We have to diet from the inside out and fix your relationship with food and learn how to have these foods in moderation and where you're not craving them all day. Because again, you suppressing and you distracting yourself and saying, no, I don't need this. No, I don't need this is making your cravings worse. So you may be going, okay, Jared, now what do I do now? What do I do now? Here's how you handle this. You need to handle these when the craving is small, handle it there. I remember back at our old house, there was a weed in our front yard. Like we had this weird, like the way the house was built, there was this little like a little nook on the outside where there was like some plants and shit. And I remember there was this weed that Shelby always asked if I would go handle. Like she, I remember her saying, hey, will you go get the weed in the front yard? And this was not like a little weed. It was about actually at first it was the size of like this mic setup. Right. And, excuse me. And I always blew it off. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. And I would just forget about it. And I didn't take it seriously. And then it came time to actually get it to come out. We had to literally get a truck with a chain and rip it out of the ground. And it was just a weed, but it's because this weed, we let it grow so long that it turned into this really big thing. And that made it really hard to tackle. And then when we finally ripped it out, it left a crater in my ground. Because we let it stay and it took root and it got big and strong and hard to manage. And then it was a lot bigger of a deal ripping this thing out. We literally had to get like a truck and rip it out like a tree. Cause this little weed grew into a little tree. Your cravings are no different. See, if I would have handled that weed when it was small, I could have one hand just pulled it right out of the ground, but I didn't. I let it grow. I let it get strong. I let it get big. And then it's a problem, right? Your cravings are no different. When your craving is like a 2 or 3, handle it then. Do not wait till this thing turns into this giant tree. This weed turns into a tree when it's a 9 out of 10 and it's going to, you're going to bend your face off and you're going to leave a crater in the ground, so to speak, like I did with that giant weed. You have to handle it when it's small. But here's the thing. You need to handle a 2-level craving with a 2-level response. So what's this look like? If you want cookies and you go, cookies sound good, and it's about a 2, go get 1 or 2 cookies. Now you may be saying, well, Jared, I can't have just 1 or 2. I have to eat the whole pack. No. If this is truly a 2-level craving, you won't have the desire to smash the whole pack. And if let's play devil's advocate. And let's say you do have that desire, then you have a really messed up relationship with food. And that should be our number one priority. We have to do these things like these intervention style approaches with clients all the time, where when they truly, once they start, they can't stop and they have the most horrendous relationship with food. We have an entirely different protocol to go with them, because we have to go intervention style and fix this fast. And we have to be a little bit more aggressive with it. So, but that's not what this video is on. If you guys want me to do a video or a podcast or a training on that specifically, let me know. But this video is not on that. This video or this podcast is on, just generalize how to handle cravings. Handle a 2-level craving with a 2-level response. You have a little bit of a craving for cookies, go get 1 or 2 cookies, 150 calories, 200 calories. That's it. You eat them, boom, it's done. Then you go on with your merry way and that's it. And then like tomorrow or the next day, when you have a craving, you're like, chips sound good. Go get a vending machine size bag of chips, a little tiny one. Craving's gone, boom, done. That's literally how to approach all cravings. Now, here's how you get really ahead of this. This is what we have clients do. You should literally put like almost in a budget style setup in your nutrition or in your calories to have the food you know you are going to crave. If you're a peanut butter person, you're just like, man, I just love peanut butter. Literally, before the desire for peanut butter comes, put it in your day and in your plan and account for it. So when that craving does hit, when you know it will, you're fine. Or if you know you go out to eat a lot and you love fast food, or you love this one ice cream joint, or you love wine, or you love donuts, before the craving even gets there, put it in your tracker, put it in your journal, put it in your whatever you're doing ahead of time. That's it. I knew a guy back in the day that he loved peanut butter so much, he smashed a whole jar of peanut butter weekly. And he would just account for it. He would literally, when he allotted his weekly calories, he would account for like 10,000 calories or however much was in this peanut butter jar over the course of the entire week. So he had his peanut butter and he lost his weight just fine. It's you have to take this kind of approach with it. You have to almost be preemptive, but you have to understand there's nothing wrong with even daily. if you want to carve out, let's say, just make numbers easy, 300 to 500 calories a day for whatever the fuck you want. This is what we have clients do. There's nothing wrong with it. If you're the kind of person who likes to have something sweet at the end of the day, or you like to have some dessert or something sweet after dinner, like to have whatever, if you like to bake and you like to enjoy the cupcakes you made or the brownies, there's nothing wrong with that. We just need to put that in your plan. This is where most people go wrong. Most people live in the land of, oh no, I shouldn't. Oh, I'm weak. Something's wrong with me. I'm not allowed. That's bad. Well, that's old school diet culture dogma. And if you want to do that, that is not what we do here. So if you want to do this the right way and you want to have it where you have frictionless fat loss, where it's not that big of a deal, this is how you need to approach this. Handle the craving when it's small, regardless of what it is. Enjoy the thing, but don't let the craving get to be a 9 out of 10 where you're ready to steal a cupcake from a child, right? That's when it's too late. And that's where it's like, that's when you're going to binge. This is when you need to handle it when it's small. That's the biggest thing. You have to handle it when it's small. But this is also why just avoiding the craving doesn't work. I am not of the opinion of, oh, I crave something, just go drink water. Or, oh, I'm craving something sweet, just go get fruit. Or, oh, I want a Reese cup, go find a way to make a Reese cup out of cauliflower. I am not of that camp. I would rather have the actual thing I'm craving just in control and moderation. Excuse me, I feel a sneeze coming on. Excuse me, I'm still under the weather too. But hopefully this is making sense. Right, I would rather have a smaller portion of actual Ben and Jerry's ice cream than have like an entire pint of like healthy, low calorie ice cream. That's just my personal prerogative. You do what you want to do. But this is why avoiding the craving doesn't work. Think of like you're in a pool with a beach ball and the beach ball is your craving. And you're just trying to shove it under the water. I don't know if you've ever done that as a kid, or like as a kid, I tried to like stand on it or sit on it, and it would always find a way to fly up. Right. And if you really hold this thing underwater, it shoots up really high. And this is what your binges do. This is what your sessions do whenever you're trying to handle your craving. You go, oh, I don't need it. Put it under the water. Oh, I really want chocolate. I'm just going to drink water. That doesn't do anything. Oh, I really want something sweet. I'm going to have an apple because it's kind of sweet, but I really just want chocolate. And you're just shoving it under the water. It's going to skyrocket. You're going to end up binging. You're going to end up making that 2 turn into a 10. And then now you really can't control yourself. Again, it's a much better idea to have 1 piece of chocolate, 2 pieces of chocolate, when that craving's small and not that big of a deal, than for you to suppress it 3 more days. And now you binge on a bag of chocolate. Just logically look at this for a second. Because you have to understand, there's nothing bad or wrong with any food, right? It's the dose that makes poison lethal. You can have anything in moderation, still lose weight and get healthy and be the best version of yourself, because this is more than just getting rid of the foods. This is about having a great relationship with these foods, okay? So there are a few things that will make your cravings worse though. So I thought, when I was creating my notes for this, if you're watching the YouTube and you're looking over, or you see me looking over, I've got notes. There are a few things that make cravings worse. Number one is when your levels of hunger in general are really high. So cravings aren't always hunger related. You may have met your calories for the day, or you may not really be that hungry, but cookies just sound good when you smell your mom making them, or whatever the case is. So the thing that makes cravings worse though is when hunger is really high. Like we've all had those instances where we were traveling or meetings at work or something happened and we forgot to, you just let your hunger get too high. And you're craving food, that's when it's really easy to smash a lot of food that you were craving. So having hunger levels that are really high make cravings astronomically worse. So if that's you and you are really hungry, have food that is really nutritious, that's going to actually fill you up before you have the food that you're craving. Like, for example, there's an old piece of content I did on, I think it was there are these two types of lists that you need. List A are all the foods that you enjoy eating that actually fill you up. This may be a turkey sandwich. This may be steak and potatoes. This may be more hearty foods. But then you need to have list B, where it's all the foods that it doesn't matter how much you eat, you would never get full. Things like chips, things like ice cream, things like dessert, things like cookies. It doesn't matter how much of that we could all eat. There's a reason why you could be stuffed at dinner and still get ice cream, is because there's something about it that we just can't get full from it. Well, if you're approaching food and you're hungry and craving, eat off list A first to get full, then go to list B. But when you're really craving and haven't eaten in your hunger, and not really craving, when you're really hungry and you haven't eaten in your hunger and cravings are all over the place, address the hunger first, then craving second, so you don't accidentally overeat. Because otherwise, if you approach cookies and cake and ice cream with hunger, you're going to smash 5-10,000 calories of it. Okay. Number two is that makes cravings a little bit harder is along the same lines as not enough whole foods. If all you've been eating all day is like really processed high calorie foods, it's going to make things a little bit worse. It's going to make things a little bit harder. You're going to feel a little more shitty. This is why it's really important to still enjoy and eat mostly whole foods. I'm not saying just eat, you know, whatever the fuck, just because it works in your calories. Like, of course you can do that. But if you don't have enough whole foods, you won't feel as good. You'll be bloated. You're just not going to feel the greatest, and you need to be able to have the majority for this to be sustainable. The majority of what your calories are from whole foods. And number three on my list is have enough protein. If you're not eating enough protein, this is going to contribute to why one of the reasons why you're so hungry all the time is you're not getting enough protein in. It's funny. Most people who struggle losing weight and struggle with their hunger and cravings, ironically, don't get enough protein in. But if you just hit your protein every day, just assume half of your hunger and craving issues will go away. But that's not to say, you know, if you're craving cookies, just eat a chicken breast. That's not very helpful. But you need to still be making sure hunger isn't crazy and you're getting enough protein and whole foods. And then now take these things that I've shown you in order to approach your cravings. Okay. So that's it. That's literally the simplest way I know how to show you how to handle your cravings and actually honor your cravings, but don't let them control you. Enjoy what it is that you want. Eat it when it's small, when the cravings are small, and then you're in control the entire time. Okay. So I hope that was helpful. Let me know if this was. Be sure and subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Now, before you go, I do have some stuff for you. Number one is if you have not gone through my free course, definitely you're going to absolutely want to go through that. If you're new around here, not quite sure where to get started with even weight loss as a whole, you'll want to go through my fat loss checklist. It's a game changer. Number two, if you don't have a community around you, because we become like those we associate with. And if you're on your own with this and you really need help, and you just want to get around the right kind of people, get more content like this, you'll want to join my free Facebook community called Fat Loss Simplified. I'll leave a link below for all the stuff I'm about to share with you. I'm sharing with you right now. It's a game changer. It's like the most dope group of people. Like there's like 8,000 there. We're coming up on 9,000 people at the time of recording this in that group. And you'll want to join because I put a lot of great content in there and there's a lot of amazing people that will help support you completely for free. Okay. And then lastly, if you are on this road and you are tired of doing it by yourself and you're tired of the guesswork and you're tired of once you start, you can't stop. And you're tired of you that you can't like get these 20 pounds to come off. And you've just been fighting these 20 pounds for the last 10 or 20 years and you are ready to get help. I have some special stuff going on for anyone who applies for coaching and gets accepted from the podcast. That's why I have a very special link in the description or wherever it is around here. If you want to apply for coaching, that way I'm notified and know that you came from the podcast. Because not only will you go to the front of the list, but also I have some extra things for you because you came from the podcast. Because even right now, the time of recording this, I'm looking for individuals who are trying to lose between, let's say, 10 and 40-ish pounds who not only want to lose the weight, but who want to keep it off, but do it all in a sustainable way without giving up their favorite foods and utilizing some of the tools and tricks that I've shown you right here. Because the thing is, when we help people, when we coach people, we have a really unique method that we use that fixes everything from the inner game and from the inside out. We fix your inner game first, teach you how to lose the weight in a really chill way while enjoying all your favorite foods, but then teach you how to keep it off and give you the skill set so you don't need us anymore. Okay. This way you're able to have what I like to call frictionless fat loss, where the weight comes off and it's not that big of a deal and your life doesn't suck, but you're supported along the way. Because a common misconception is a lot of people, this is when people say, oh, I need someone to just knock the food out of my hand all day. Well, I need tough love all the time. Oh, I need someone to just babysit and handhold me. No, you don't. You need a coach. The last thing you need is to be babysat, to be micromanaged, to be told what to eat. Right? That's the last thing you need. You just need to be taught how to do this the right way. You need a plan that actually addresses your issues and struggles, and that is actually going to work in your day to day and in your life seamlessly. And then you need to understand and have the skill sets to keep it off on your own. That's it. But we check all these boxes inside my coaching program. So if that's something you want to look into and see what options look like and see what, if it would even be the right fit, there's a link in the description. Apply, fill out the intake form, apply, And then let me know if you have any questions between now and then. And this way you and I can schedule a call. That way we can talk and discuss details and make sure it's a good fit. Otherwise, that is it today, my friend. I appreciate you being here. Be sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already. And I will talk to you next time.